Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Meir Turin. Maseches Yevamos has been dedicated in honor of Rabbi Aaron Kaufman, Rosh Yeshivas Ateres Shmuel of Waterbury.
The daf we'll be talking about today is Maseches Yevamos daf Kuf Gimel, but since the sugi on Kuf Gimel is a hemshech from the sugi that began on Kuf Beis and Beis, we'll begin over there. The Mishnah in the beginning of the parak taught us that Ba'ampal Yachalitzas Psula, if one does chalitza by removing the sack of the yavam, this is not considered a kasher chalitza. The Gemara says it would seem from here that a sack does not have a shem minol, is not considered a shu. But I'll ask you a stira from there, because we find by Yom Kippur the din is that a person is not allowed to walk in a minol, a sandal, or an ampalya, or in a sack. Levi bias, lebias, to the levi mita, lemita. So it would seem that an ampalya is considered a shu. On this, the Gemara brings down two tirutzim, Abaye and Rava. Abaye answers that there's a nafkamina between Yom Kippur and Chalitza. The case by Yom Kippur, Abaye learns, is talking about the Isbe Kasisi. There are small pieces of rags inside. Rashi learns made it of cotton or soft leather. And therefore, there is tainug involved, there is pleasure involved, and therefore it's asr. Rava asks Abaye, however, if something just is tainug without having a shem minol, without being considered a shu, is that asr on Yom Kippur? Rabbi Baruch Huna, we know, would go out with a kerchief wrapped around his foot on Yom Kippur. So you see, obviously, tainug without being a shem minol is not asr. So therefore, Rabbi gives a different answer. And Rabbi's approach is that we're talking about two different types of sacks. The case of Yom Kippur is talking about Ba'ampalya Shalar. It's a sock made out of leather, and therefore it has a shem minol, is considered a shoe. Masha'enke, in the case of chalitza, where it's not a valid chalitza, when our Mishnah says when the yavama removes the sock, is talking about that the yavama is wearing a sock made out of fabric. Now the Kaivet Sa'aris, Rav Chanan in Simen Ayin Gimel, Sifkatim Gimel, explains over here that the Machaikas Abaye and Rava is on a fundamental question, how to understand the Hei Inuyim that we know are Asr on Yom Kippur. The Gemara in Yuma that learns out from Ta'anu that one has to afflict oneself, and from there we learn out the five Inuyim, there's the Yisaitistic question how to understand the Limud. Is the Torah being Mechadish to us that the Bitul Ha'inuy is the Gufa Isr? The Torah's Kepeda is that a person should not eat on Yom Kippur. Why? Not because the eating itself is an issue, but because through eating, one removes the inoy, the affliction that comes about from fasting. And hu adin, it is asr to wear shoes, not because there's an isr per se to wear shoes, but through the wearing of shoes, one removes the inoy that comes about without having shoes. And theoretically, according to this approach, if one would find the case of eating, which would not be mevatel the inoy, that would be permitted on Yom Kippur. And hu adin, an opposite. If someone would find a case where you can vatal the inoy, even without an action of eating, as long as it would take away the inoy that comes about from someone not eating, that also would be included in the iser. Or perhaps another way out of understanding this is, even though it's learned out from Ta'anu that one is supposed to afflict oneself, the yisayit of the iser is not that one is supposed to cause himself affliction. And the problem with eating per se is not because it is causing a person not to be in a situation of inoy, but rather, since we know not eating is associated with inoy, it's a way of the Torah signaling to us there's an iser mitzad atzmai to eat on Yom Kippur, and there's an iser mitzad atzmai to wear shoes on Yom Kippur. And according to this approach, the iser of eating has nothing to do because you're being mevatel the inoy al yidei your achila. Zakter Rabbi Chanan, it would seem that in this question, Abaye and Rava argue. Abaye holds like the first approach, that the Isra of Ne'ilas HaSandal, the Torah is telling us the reason why we have a problem with you wearing leather shoes on Yom Kippur is only because through wearing the shoes you're being mevatel the inoy that comes about from not wearing shoes. The reason why the Torah has a problem with us eating on Yom Kippur, according to Abaye, is because through eating one is mevatel the inoy that comes about from not eating. And therefore Abaye holds, if I could find you a situation like the Ampalya, the sack, the Isbe Kasisin that has these pieces of rag of leather and soft material within it, since it has that same level of bitula inoy, like wearing a regular shoe, it is Bechlal the Isser Minol that the Torah said. Rabba, however, argues with Abai, says, Atu tainu b'loi minol v'yayim kippur mi aser. Is there an iser on one having pleasure without wearing leather shoes? Rabba holds like the second approach, that the iser is not because you're being mevatel the inoy, but rather the Torah is just giving us a simen. Since these five things are associated generally with inoy, the Torah is thereby signaling to us that it has a problem with us wearing shoes because there's a new iser called wearing shoes in Yom Kippur. It's a problem to eat on Yom Kippur because there's a new iser achila on Yom Kippur. And therefore, Rava holds, since an apalya, though it may have kesisin inside, and it gives you pleasure, but since it does not have a shem minol, therefore is no way that it should be aser on Yom Kippur. The emes is that the Achreinim, the Achi Ezer, and Chelek Gimel, Simen Chaf Aleph, deals with a fascinating question, would there be a problem to feed someone through intravenous on Yom Kippur? According to the way the Kaira Ta'aris is explaining the Machlekes Abaye and Rava, that according to Abaye, the entire Isser Achil on Yom Kippur is because you're being mevatel the Inoy, and the Isser is even Shaloi Ayidei Amais Achila, even not through an action of Achila, as long as you're giving the person those same nutrients and that same effect that Achila has, so therefore you're being mevatel the Inoy, so it would seem that intravenous like Abaye would be Aser. Mashenkin, according to Rava, that it's just a simen that the Torah is asering achila, so intravenous it would seem will be mutter according to Rava. Now Rava brings a raya to his shita that we see tainu without a minol is not asar Yom Kippur, because Rava bar Rav Huna would walk out with a kerchief wrapped around his foot on Yom Kippur. Zot d'arghaner, so it would seem from our Gemara that when someone puts a siddur, there is no inoy, but it's not a minol, but there is no inoy. However, he asks on the Rambam. The Rambam in the third parak of Hilchos Shvisas Asar, Halacha Zayin, writes, V'karech Adam beged al ragla v'yaitzed bay. A person is allowed to wrap a cloth around his foot and go out with it on Yom Kippur. Sharei kaishi ha'aretz magia l'raglav, because the hardness of the ground could still be felt. U'margesh u'yachev, and he feels as if he's going without shoes. L'chayrez at the Aruch Lener, it sounds like from the Rambam, not like our sugya. The Rambam says, by a sudr there is inoy. And yet our sugya is saying, Rava's gufa bring a raya from there, that we see tainug without minol is not asr. The Aruch Lener says, perhaps we have to say that the Rambam understood that gufa is the machlekes Abaye and Rava. That Abaye holds that there's an isr tainug even without a shoe. So how does Abaye answer this, the Rabbi Rav Huna would wrap a sudr around his foot and go out with it in Yom Kippur? It must be that Abaye argues with the Metzias, and he holds that by a Siddur as well, there is no Tainug because you feel the ground. And therefore the Rambam is paskening like Abaye. This would work out well with Rabbi Chanan, what Rabbi Chanan says in Kaivet Tzaharis, that according to Abaye, there's an Isser even without a shoe, calls man you get that same level of Tainug that a shoe would provide. And therefore the Rambam was forced to say that this the Rav Rav Huna went out with it according to Abaye, was because there is no Tainug in such a case. However, the Aruch Lener himself asks on this pshat, we know that whenever there's a machlekes Abaye and Rava, the halacha always follows Rava, except for six cases of Yal Kagam. If so, how does the Rambam paskin like Abaye? And l'cher, there's another question on this mahalach of the Aruch Lener. According to the Aruch Lener, it comes out that Abaye and Rava are having a machlekes b'metzias. Does a sudr help to prevent that there should be no inoy? Which is hard to understand that there's a machlekes b'metzias between Abaye and Rava. Now, as far as the etzim halach of the Kaivet Tzaharis, that he says that according to Abaye, everything is dependent upon Tainug, even though it does not have a Shem Minol, and according to Rava, everything is dependent upon the Shem Minol, even if there's no Tainug at all, one could say that perhaps they don't argue in such an extreme way, based on the Yisoid that it says in Achi Ezer. The Achi Ezer in Chelek Gimel Simen Aleph, as far as that question of intravenous, the Achi Ezer writes, he feels for a davar pashut that it is mutter to give intravenous on Yom Kippur. And he says, because even if we'll say that the gather of the Isra Achil on Yom Kippur is the bitul inoy, the fact that you're taking away the affliction, however, he feels there's still a halacha that you need, kedarach achila. And therefore, according to Achi Ezer's approach, one can say that even according to Abaye, Abaye agrees you need a shem minol. So what is the core of the machlekes between Abaye and Rava? Abaye holds, since the Iker Isser of Minol is because you're being mevatel the Inoy, therefore it's much easier to give something a Shem Minol to be constituted a shoe as far as Yom Kippur is concerned. And therefore Abaye says, if I have a sock that's filled up with comfortable material, as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, there's much more loose guidelines to what to make something and include it in being a shoe, as far as the shoe of Yom Kippur. However, according to Rava holds the Iker is Tali only in the Shem Mino, because the Isser Ne'ilas HaSandal is an Isser Mitzat Atzmai, and therefore according to Rava it must fit in the same guidelines of what constitutes a shoe as far as Chalitza. So according to this approach, we're going Al Darach Rabbi Chanan, but not as extreme as Rabbi Chanan takes it. In other words, even Abaye agrees it needs a Shem Mino, but Abaye is just being mechalik between the minol as far as other halachas in the Torah, chalitza and other dinim, and as far as the minol of Yom Kippur. Because since the ikar iser of minol Yom Kippur is because through wearing the minol you bring mevatel the inoy, therefore there are much looser guidelines what could be included in a shame minol. Mashenkin according to Rava, since according to Rava the yisaita iser is the ne'ilas hasandal itself, just wearing a shoe, and therefore it must jive together with all the parameters of what's considered a shoe in Kol HaTorah Kula. According to this approach, like Abaye can answer this, the Rav Rav Huna would go out with a sudra around his foot. Because even if there's tainug, but even Abaye agrees, just wrapping a kerchief around your foot will not make it into a shem mino. If you have a sock which has the tzura like a shoe, and now is made comfortable, so that we could say as far as Yom Kippur gets under the shem mino. But to say that just a handkerchief or a kerchief wrapped around one's foot, that of course does not have a shem mino, even according to Abaye. The Gemara tells us further, Kav Hakitea, the wooden foot of an amputee, which we learned in the Reisha of the Braisa, if that is removed, that has a shem mino on it, and it is a chalitza kshera. The Gemara tells us this must follow Remeir Shita that we've learned, Hakitea Yoitze Bekav Shaloi, a amputee may go out with this wooden foot on Shabbos. It is not considered Haitzah because it's considered like his shoe. Diver Remeir, that's what Remeir says, Reb Yoisi Iser, Reb Yoisi however says it is Aser. However, the Gemara asks that in the Seifa of the Braisa we've learned that an Palya Shel Beged is considered a Chalitza Psula. If one, the Yavama, takes off from the Yavam his sock, it is considered a pasul of chalitza. This would seem to only work out like the Rabbanan. According to Remeir, it should be considered a good chalitza. So Abaye answers, since the Seifa must be following the Rabbanan, the Reisha as well must be following the Shittas of the Rabbanan. So if so, how could it be that a Kava Kiteya is considered a shoe like the Rabbanan? It must be its Mechupa Ar, it was covered over with leather. Rava doesn't like Abaye's answer because he says, if so, it would come out that if it's not Mechupa'ar, the din is that it's pasul. If so, why in the Sefer do we have to run to a different case of Ampalya Shel Beged to teach me the Chalitza is pasul? We should have been Mechalik in the case of Kavakiteh itself, that only when it's covered with leather is it a good Chalitza, but if it's not covered with leather, it's not a good Chalitza. So therefore, Rava takes a different approach to the Braisa, and he says that since the Reisha is Remeir, who holds that the Kav HaKiteya, the wooden foot of the amputee, had the Shem Mino, and therefore it's a good Chalitza, the Sefer must be Remeir as well. And as far as your question, so how come the Anpalya Shel Beged is not considered a good Chalitza like Remeir? The answer is because it does not protect the foot at all. Now as far as Pshat in the Gemara, where we see in the Gemara is making this Tliya, that according to Remeir that holds Kava Kiteya, the wooden foot of the amputee has a Shem Mino, he also would hold that the Ampaya Shel Beged, the sock made out of fabric, is considered a Mino. Rashi and Taisus argue how to understand what is the Tliya. Rashi learns the Sugya that everything goes around a fundamental question. It says in the Pasuk, Anal Chatachash, the Gemara had earlier quoted a Pasuk that says that I'll make you a shoe out of leather. The question is this pasuk dafka or not? Do we say that a minol is only if it's made out of leather? And since we see, according to Remeir, a kav hakiteya, the wooden foot of amputee, is considered a minol, even though it's not leather, so it must be, Remeir does not darshan v'analcha tachash. If so, hu adin, according to Remeir, an ampaya shall beg it as well, should be considered a shoe. Ashenken, according to the Rabbanan who hold that kav hakiteya is not considered a shoe, it must meet a darshan analcha tachash to be dafka, a shoe must be made out of leather, and hu adin they would hold, therefore, Ampaya Shel Beged is not considered a shoe as well. That is Rashi's approach in the Sugya. Taisus is mashma differently. That the tliya, the site of the question over here is, in order to be considered a shoe, does it have to be something that it's a normal darach to make as a shoe? According to Rameyer, that a kavaki teas is considered a minnow, a amputee the foot, his wooden foot is considered a shoe. Obviously, Rameyer holds that you could get a shem minnow even if something, it's not the darach to make a shoe out of that. If so, the Gemara says, who I then Rameyer would hold that an ampaya shall beg it. A sock made out of fabric also should be considered a shoe. Shenken, according to the Rabbanan, that kava kitea is not considered a minnow because it's not the derech. So therefore, who had in the Gemara holds that according to the Rabbanan, an ampaya shel beged would not be considered a minnow. Now, Rabbeinu Tam over here asks a very powerful question on our sugya. Our Gemara says that the Tana of the Braisa, that a kava kitea is considered a shoe, and if the Yavama goes ahead and removes from the Yavam the wooden leg, that's considered like removing his shoe, works out, according to the Shita of Rameyer, that when it comes to Shabbos as well, Rameyer says, the kava kitea, the amputee is allowed to walk out on Shabbos with his wooden leg. However, it's mashma very clearly from our sugya, that according to Rabbi Yaisi, however, who says that on Shabbos, the amputee cannot walk out with his wooden leg. It's not considered his shoe. It does not work out well with our braisa that says, as far as chalitza, it is considered a shoe. That's what seems to come out from our sugya in Yevamis, and so is mashman the sugya in Shabbos on daf samachay amabez. However, if one is ma'ayin in the sugya in Yuma on daf ayin ches amabez, over there the Gemara says that kava kiteya, both according to Rameyer and according to Rabbi Yaisi, it's considered a shoe. The only reason why Rabbi Yaisi says that the amputee may not walk out on Shabbos with his wooden leg is only a special halacha as far as Shabbos is concerned, a gzeira, that perhaps it will fall off and he'll end up carrying his wooden leg on Shabbos, being ivor on haitzah on Shabbos. But really, as far as the fundamental question, does it have a shem minno, even Rabbi Yaisi agrees to Rameyer that it does have a shem minno. Taisus also asks that in the sugya in Yevamis it comes out, we allow the chalitza to be done with a shoe made out of sham, made out of rush, which is a hard material. So we've seen that sham is considered a minnow. Yet in the Perek Bas of the Yuma, in the end of Yuma, we say, Ani re'isis your b'shuvan levi, sheyatza b'sandal shel sham b'yom kippurim. I saw Rabbi Shuvan Levi go out with a sandal made out of sham on Yom Kippur. From there it would seem that as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, it is not considered a shoe. And in our sugya seems to be medama, compare Yom Kippur with chalitza, from the fact that we ask a stira one to another. Taisus therefore ends with a question, Rabbi Natam ends with this question, that l'chayr this seems to be a stira sasugyas. The Aruch Haner wants to say a tremendous chiddush. Because of Rabbi Natam's question, he wants to answer the Rambam that we quoted in the beginning of the shir. The sugya over there in Yuma reads like this. There's a machlekes between Rameyer and Rabbi Yaisi, whether a kav hakiteya, the wooden foot of an amputee, is he allowed to walk out on Shabbos wearing that? However, the Gemara in Yuma says, we've learned a braisa that says, that both Rameyer and Rabbi Yaisi would agree as far as Yom Kippur, that it is usur for him to go out with this wooden leg. So how do we resolve the difference? So we have Abaye and Rav over there in Yuma as well. Abaye says, well, there's a distinction between Yom Kippur and other halachas. As far as Shabbos is concerned, there's a machlekes, but when it comes to Yom Kippur, everyone agrees that it's aser because of the issue of Tainuk. Rav over there says that the nafkamina is a different nafkamina, that even Rav Yaisi agrees that a wooden leg has a shem minol, and the whole machlekes is only as far as Shabbos is concerned because it's a new question, a gzeira, that he might end up carrying it. So it comes out, based on the sugya in Yuma Ayin Ches on the Beis, according to Rava, even Reb Yaisi agrees that the wooden leg of an amputee has a shem minnow on it. The whole question of Reb Yaisi is only limited to Shabbos as far as a gzeira of him walking out, perhaps it will fall off and he'll end up carrying it. Ask the Aruch Haner, but yet when we come to the stump of the Gemara in Yevamis, the Gemara wants to say that the braisa that says that it is a valid chalitza to remove the wooden leg of an amputee works out like Rameyer. The Gemara does not say it works out like Rabbi Yaisi. L'chayra, this is keneged Rava. This is keneged with that which Rav had said in Yuma Ayin Ches on the Beis, that a wooden leg, even like Rabbi Yaisi, is considered a minnow. Zakt Aruch HaNer, therefore the Rambam held that since the Stam of the Gemara goes not like Rava, goes like Abaye, and therefore the Rambam felt from here we see that we're supposed to paskin like Abaye, that Abaye Taka, who makes an afgamina between Yom Kippur and the other halachas, and therefore the Rambam explains that the reason why there's a hatred to go out with the sujra on the foot is only because there is no tainug involved. The Aruch HaNer's whole issue with saying that was, how can we paskin like Abaye over Rava? We know the halacha always follows Rava, except for Yalkagam. Zakt Aruch HaNer over here is different. Over here, since we have a stump at the Gemara that works out like Abaye, not like Rava, we see the Gemara is going with Abaye as far as this question is concerned, and therefore the Rambam paskins that way as well. However, the only ha'ara that remains on the Aruch HaNer's approach is that it comes out, he's saying that the machlekes Abaye and Rava by Sudra is a machlekes and Metzias, whether there is pleasure or not, which is a little bit hard to understand. The Gemara continues, Amar HaMeimar, Haiman Decholitz, Tzorach L'midchase L'kari. A person whose chalitza is being done with him, the Yavam, must press his foot firmly to the ground. The Rashi over here in Siman Zayin explains what is the rationale between HaMeimar's halacha. Haiman Decholitz, Tzorach L'midchase L'kari, Kidei She'e Nikar She'teireches L'achleitz Mino. The Rashi explains the purpose is that it should be nikkur, that she is being matriach herself to remove his shoe. The lupa'amim minol shel bezdin gadol midas ragli, because sometimes the shoe of bezdin is larger than the foot of the yavam. V'nira k'yaitze me'elav, and it could have the appearance that the shoe is coming off by itself. And lo sheyidchak ragli b'karkamat, if not for the fact that he presses his foot against the karka. Now, the Neid of Yehuda, in Evan Ezer Chelik Aleph, Siman Tzadi Dalet, it brings down a very interesting question that arose in his Bezdin. He brings down from the Rav HaGadol, Rav Zalman Amruch, who is one of the Chavar HaBezdin of the Neid of Yehuda, that he says he wanted to mechadish a davar chadash in a minig of chalitza, that normally the minig of Klai Yisrael always was, that after the Yavama unties the knots of the straps of the shoe and the clasps, so then the lady, the Yavama, lifts up the foot of the Yavam with her left hand, and with her right hand she removes the actual shoe from upon his foot. And so is Mashman, the Tor, in Simen Kuf Samach Tes, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Seder HaChalitza, in Sifnun Beis. Now in the Seder HaChalitza, the Mari Mintz, he's Mechadish just one point, that the actual lifting up of the foot of the Yavam should also be with the Yavama's right hand. Like he writes, Tater b'yad yamin, b'li siyua yad hasmolas harutsuis me'al raglay. She should untie the shoelaces with her right hand, without her left hand helping out. And afterwards, the krasim me'al halais, afterwards, the clasps. Ba'achal takbiya raglay b'yamina, afterwards, she should lift up his foot with her right hand. B'tishmetenu min'aretz, b'li siyua yad hasmolas. And she should remove it off his foot onto the ground without a siyua of her left hand. Akopanim, from all these mashmais, it's mashma, that the hagbas haregel comes before, the step before, the actual removing of the shoe. Just some say that the lifting up of the foot of the yavam should be done as well with the right hand of the yavama, and some say that it's allowed to be done with the left hand. So now Rav Zalman Amruch came along to say, the lechaira, the minog of what we've been doing till now is wrong, because since the Gemara in Yavamis teaches us Haiman Decholitz Tzarech LeMidachse LeKari, that when one is having chalitza performed to him, he must be pressing his foot against the ground. If so, how could we say that at the time of the actual chalitza, the removal of the shoe, his foot is in midair? That lechaira would take away from the whole point of pressing his foot against the ground. Furthermore, Zalman Amruch said, the Rashi explains to us the whole purpose of HaMeimar's din of pressing the foot against the ground is that it should be nikkur, that the shoe is being removed by the Yavama, it's not falling off by itself. But if at the time of the actual removal of the shoe, the foot is in mid-air, so maha'il chacham mitakantam, l'chayr, we lost the whole purpose of pressing the foot against the ground. And therefore, he says, any place where there is mention about lifting of a foot, it does not mean that she actually lifts up the Yavam's foot in mid-air. Rather, the meaning is just that the metzias, when you remove a shoe, automatically, to get the shoe off, obviously, the foot's going to have to be mugba to a certain degree off the ground. And therefore, Rav Zalman Amruch went into Paskin this way. Befrat, he said, according to the Rambam and the Rif, we find that they hold this halacha of pushing one's foot against the ground is ma'akiv, even b'di'eved. If so, how could we say that b'shas, the ikar chalitzas ha-mino, the mino and the foot should not be pressed against the ground? The Nedev Yehuda himself, however, strongly disagrees with Rav Zalman Amruch, and he says, as far as the raya of Rav Zalman Amruch from the Rosh, that if the whole yisayid of the chisa is that it should not appear as if the mino is leaving on its own, falling off on its own, and if the yavam's foot is in mid-air at the time of removal of the shoe, so what have we accomplished? He says, if you understand the Rosh kipshutai, the way Rav Zalman Amruch understood it, so indeed he would have a valid point. However, he says Rav Zalman Amruch's pshat in the Rosh is incorrect. Zakta Noida B'Yehuda, if the pshat in the Rosh was merely that it should be nikkur, that the shoe was being removed by the woman and not falling off by itself, if so, why would the Rosh need to be makdim? The Rosh writes, Kedei she'e nikkur she'e tereches lachleitz mino. The foot must be pressed against the ground in order that it should be nikkur, that she's being matriach herself to remove the shoe. He should have just said, in order that it should be nikkur, that she's removing the shoe, and it's not falling off on its own. Vadai, Zakta Noida B'Yehuda, therefore this is not the proper shot in the Rosh. Rather, the sight of the Rosh is something entirely different. The Rosh does not mean merely that we have to see that she's removing the shoe. Because if so, everyone, by looking at what's happening, would see she's removing the shoe, even if he would not have pressed his foot against the ground, b'chlal. The Rosh means, however, something more, something different. The kavanah of the Rosh is that it should be nikkur, that she is removing the shoe, l'shem mitzvah chalitza. Rather, it could take on the appearance as if she thought that the shoe was falling off, and therefore she didn't want this fellow to go ahead and lose his shoe. Therefore, she quickly took it off in order that he shouldn't lose it, and hand it back to him, that he should go back and put it on tighter. And we don't see necessarily inherently in her action that she did it l'shem mitzvah. Mashenkin, now that he's pushing his foot firmly against the ground, over here she needs a tirchi yaseira to lift up his foot off the ground in order to remove the shoe. From the fact that she's being matriach herself so much, we see that she's obviously doing it b'shvil atzma for herself in order to be mata herself through this chalitza. In Zakta Noida B'Yehuda, we find this concept b'negei another halacha of chalitza. We find that our minhag is, after she removes the shoe, she throws the shoe from her hand onto the ground. And the Yisayid and Mefarshim explain behind this minhag is, in order to clearly show everybody she did not remove the shoe for any other purpose, not because she wants the shoe, but merely in order to be matter herself mitzvah de mitzvah of chalitza. And therefore, she immediately throws the shoe onto the ground to show everybody she only did this l'shem the mitzvah of chalitza. Zakta Noida B'Yehuda, that is the kavan of the Rosh, and then the Muki Yosef as well, who as well says, al darach this mahalach of the Rosh, that the yisayid why he must push firmly his foot against the ground is that she should be matriach herself to remove it, that everyone will see clearly she's lifting up his foot and removing it. Everyone sees clearly that she is doing this l'shem mitzvah chalitza. Zakta Noida B'Yehuda, based on this yisayid, that the yisayid of her lifting up the foot of the yavam has nothing to do as far as the actual heter of chalitza, but rather just to matriach her. If so, there's no kepeda if she goes ahead and does it with her left hand. And the pshat of the Marimins, who says that she must lift the foot as well with the right hand, he says, I'll explain further. But I'll kapon him in the Rosh and the Muki Yosef, this is the pshat behind them, and therefore, evada could be done with the left hand as well. Zakta Noida B'Yehuda Vayter, that first he says, I want to explain another mahalath besides the Rosh and the Muki Yosef, behind this yisayid of why the yavam must press his foot against the ground, and then we'll explain how come it's ma'akiv even b'di'eved, according to the sheet of the Rif and the Rambam. Edibuda says further, that I want to explain that even according to the Ma'an d'Amar, that it's ma'akiv b'di'eved, the yavam pressing his foot firmly on the ground, afilu hachi, the inyan of lifting up the foot of the yavam, comes only after the untying of the shoelaces and the clasps. Therefore, comes along the night of Yehuda, and he comes and is mechadish, a tremendous chiddush, that the Torah tells us that the chalitza process is done by the Yavama removing the shoe of the Yavam. However, the Torah does not go into the details of what exactly is called removal of a shoe. Zaktanayt b'Yehuda, the greatest raya to this is that the Amiraim and the Yerushalmi argue, what is the Iker Chalitza? Rav holds the Iker Chalitza is the untying of the shoelaces. Other Amiraim over there in the Yerushalmi say the Iker is removal of the shoe itself. Zaktanayt b'Yehuda, therefore he feels that the Torah was Saisim Hadvarim. The Torah did not provide us with the details, because the truth is that whatever the derech of a person is to do at the time that he removes his shoe, all this is involved and included in the mitzvah of chalitza. And all these things need to be performed by the Yavama without any help from the Yavam. Zaktanayt d'Yehuda, based on this tremendous chiddush, we could go ahead and answer a question that the Rosh has on the Shita of the Rif. The Rif understands that the din of min harkuva ulamala chalitza psula means that the Yavam's foot was a normal foot, and he put on the chalitza shoe, but the shoelaces were tied above the knee. Ask the Rosh on the Rif, but the minhag that we have bizman hazeh is tight enough to stand even without shoelaces. If so, let's just forget about the shoelaces over here. The fact that she removed the shoe itself should suffice. Zaktanayt d'Yehuda, according to my yisoid, we understand very well the shita of the Rif. Because ein chanami, even if a metzias, a shoe bizman hazeh, could stand without shoelaces, but Lamai said at the end of the day, if saif kol saif, this shoe has shoelaces, and therefore the derech of people is when they remove this shoe, they untie their shoelaces, and then they remove their shoe. If so, the removal of the shoelaces as well is now a chelik, an integral part of the mitzvah chalitza. Zaktanayt d'Yehuda further, since the derech ha'olam is when they remove their shoes, people lift their foot into the air and then take off their shoe. Therefore, the din is that the hagbas haregel is now an integral part of the mitzvah chalitza as well. And therefore, if the yavam will not be firmly pressing his foot against the ground, so kum dais, the fact that his foot is off the ground already is happening mikayach, his own kayach. Therefore, this will lack in the mitzvah of chalitza. It will be considered as if the yavam already did the haschala of the chalitza, and the yavama did not do the entire procedure. And therefore, he says, that's the pshat in the salacha, that the yavam must firmly be pushing his foot against the ground. He says, according to this, we understand beautifully the pshat in the marimins. Since anything which is part of the normal procedure of removing one's shoe is now an integral part of chalitza, if so, the marimin says, lifting of the foot, which is a normal way of a person removes his shoe, must be done as well with the yad yamin of the yavama. According to the Yisoid of the night of Yehuda, he does not speak this out, but it comes out, according to what he's saying, it fits in very beautifully. The Rosh Lashitasai, who asked the question on the Rif, that why should there be an issue with the shoelaces tied above the knee if after all the shoe is strong enough to stand on its own? Obviously, the Rosh does not agree with this whole new Yisoid of the night of Yehuda, the way he explains in the Rif. And therefore, the Rosh Lashitasai had to come up with a new reason. Why is there a din that the Yavam must push firmly his foot against the ground? Mashenkin, the Rif Lashitasai, who says that there's a psul even b'di'eved, he goes Lashitasai as well, that he says that there's an issue if the shoelaces are tied above the knee, even though the actual shoe is able to stay on the foot without the shoelaces. Now, Rashi writes in the Sugya with Amemar that Amemar says the Yavam must press his foot. So Rashi adds in the words, he must press his foot against the ground. The Aruch HaNer is really bothered with Rashi. He says, according to the Svar of the Rosh, that the whole purpose of pressing of the foot is that it should not be seen as if the shoe is coming off on its own. If so, why should there be a t'nai that has to be dafka against the karka? Therefore, he wants to be mechadish in Rashi, that Rashi understood that this din is a special gzeiros hakasuv, halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. And the Halacha Moshe M'Sinai says that the foot must be pressed dafka against the karka. One can, however, explain another Mahalach in Rashi, al darach what the Neid of Yehuda and that tshuva as well, he's mechadish a third mahalach, how to understand the pshat in Amemar. He says Amemar is actually a hemshich of the Gemara, the line before, which said that to be considered a minol has to be megan, it has to protect. And he says the ikar shimush, after all, of a shoe is in order to protect a person's foot from the karka, from the ground, that the ground should not be hard and uncomfortable for the person. He says that's why we find the halacha later on in this parak on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph that a nal shel zaken sha'asu l'chvaydei, a shoe of an older man which is just made for his honor, but he does not go ahead and walk with it, is not considered a shoe for chalitza, the enei asu l'hilach, it's not made for walking around. See from here that to have a shame minol, it must serve as a protection. Zaktanai de Yehuda, therefore, every time a Yavam comes into Bezdin for a chalitza, if he would just put on this shoe, litzara chalitza, however, this shoe did not yet serve him in the capacity of what a shoe is meant to be, meaning as protection, so it would not get a shei minol as far as this Yavam is concerned. He says, therefore, there's this halacha Amemar teaches us that he must firmly press his foot against the ground after he wears the shoe. And now we can say the shoe already functions for him as a shoe because he used it to protect him from the ground. And therefore it gets a sheminol, benegei this person, and you could go ahead now and be used for his chalitza. And that could be shot in Rashi. Rashi says, bedafka, it has to be pressed against the ground, it has to function as a shoe, protecting him from the hard ground in order for it to be a valid minol litzarech chalitza. The Gemara further brings down another member of Amemar. Amemar teaches us that someone whose foot is twisted and inverted, he walks on the upper part of his foot, not upon his sole and his heel. The din is loy chalitz, he is not able to be performed with him the mitzvah of chalitza. Amalei Rav Ashi l'Amemar asked Rav Ashi a question to Amemar, but didn't we learn, however, that smuchas haraglayim, that someone whose feet are bent and he has these foot supports that are on his feet that it shouldn't be dragging on the ground being injured, the din is these foot supports could be used for chalitza, they have a shei minol. And doesn't it mean that you do chalitza with this person himself even though his feet are akumim, are bent? The Gemara answers no. What we mean is just that these foot supports have a shei minol and someone else whose feet are regular could use them as a minol for chalitza. Now Rashi explains that the reason why this person who walks on the upper part of his foot, it is not considered a chalitza meiraglei from his foot, it is worse than the case of meharakuva olamata. We have learned previously that according to Rashi, if there's an amputee who just has a stump, that as long as there's part of his leg from the knee going downward left, the din is if a shoe or something is placed upon that, a wooden piece is placed, that is considered a minol as far as chalitza is called, removing it me'al raglai. So why is this any worse than that case? Rashi answers that over there at least it's called me'al raglai. The language of the pasuk by chalitza is removing it from above his foot. And therefore it's considered removing of a shoe from above his foot. Ashankin, this person whose foot is totally inverted and bent, it's not called raglay, the foot, the shoe is placed on that part, and that part is not called raglay. And therefore, it is possible according to Rashi. Tysus brings down from the Rach another pshat. The reason why it is worse is because, that at least when it comes to the case of the amputee, at least whatever he has could be placed firmly on the ground. Masha'enkein, in the case of the hair of Amemar, what he has cannot be placed onto the ground. The Re'entisis points out that it seems to be coming out from Rashi and the Rach's explanations that a kiteya, an amputee, is allowed to have chalitza performed with him. However, the Re says, Ein nerekei me Yushalmi, the Yushalmi is not mashma, that it understood that way, because the Yushalmi explains that this that it says, min harkuva lamata, chalitzasik shera, does not mean that the person is missing part of his leg, but rather we're just referring to the area where the shoelaces were tied. Were they tied above the knee, when therefore it's pasul, it's not called raglay, or were they tied beneath the knee? However, he says, akitea, that we're not referring to at all, and therefore that avada would be pasul. He says this, that it says in the braisa, kav hakitea is a chalitzik shera, that if one removes the wooden leg of the amputee, so it is a kasher chalitza. He says it does not mean that you're removing it from a yavam who's an amputee, but rather the pshat is you have a person who has a regular foot. He's just using this wooden stump, so it has enough of a shem minol, since as far as amputee is concerned, it's called its shoe, therefore it has a shem minol as far as a yavam as well. But Avada Zakhtari, he does disagrees with Rashi and the Rach, an amputee, Avada, would not be kasher to remove his wooden leg. Rabbeinu Nissim Gain as well sides with the sheet of the Ri, that a kitea cannot do chalitza. So it comes out we have a tremendous machlokes rishonim in this nekuda, and it comes out that according to Rashi and the Rach, a kitea could do chalitza himself, and so is the sheet of the Rashba and the Baal Ma'ar. Now this is obviously a big nafkamin over here, la halacha, someone who has this metzias that it's nifsika raglai minhar kuba lamata, is he allowed to have chalitza performed with him? And this question actually came up in the days of the 3-day Eish, in his Shalos Yeshuvos on Eben Ezer, Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph. The case was, we were talking about someone who died without any children, he left a yavama, and there's a yavam here, who is Nikter Ragli Hayamanis Mechati Shukulamata. His foot has been cut, has been severed from under the knee and downwards. The Matthias was, in this case, that the Yavam was a Kaifer Batira, and he ate Nevelis and Trefus. It was Michal Shabbos. He was married to a non-Jewish woman. And some wanted to say, perhaps the Eitz is, he should do Yibam, and then afterwards, give her a get. But Zakhtus 3-day Eish, the way the Matthias was in this case, that the person would not have agreed to that. And he says, B'chlal, in our generations, this will be a Chil Hashem, because people are not accustomed to such a thing. And therefore, the Sridei Eish writes that the Eitza is that Chalitza he feels should be done with the man's right foot, where he has like a wooden piece, and with his left foot as well. And he says he feels we could be mat to her, L'shuk, based on Kamas Vekais. Number one, he says, perhaps the din follows Rabbeinu Chananel, Rashi, the Baal Ma'ar, and the Rashba, who hold that it's kasher to do chalitza by someone where it's nikter ragla min harakuva lomata. Number two, he says, maybe we view such a person, even though chalitza generally has to be on the person's right foot, but maybe someone who does not have a right foot, it's considered that his ikker foot is his left foot, so for him it's considered that that's his right. Number three, he says, many achrayim hold that a mumer, someone who denies the Torah, is not zaykik, is not mizakik the yavama to yibum. And it says, therefore, based on these three reasons, he will be maskim to go ahead and do chalitza on the right and left foot, and with that being mata this woman, lishuk. The Gemara goes further, and the Gemara comments on halacha in the Mishnah, minar kuva lamata, the chalitza is kasher. And the Gemara understood this in the Havamina because it's considered the regel up until the knee. And therefore, as long as the person still has the knee and some of his foot below, that is a valid chalitza. On this, the Gemara asks a stira from the din when it comes to shalish regalim lidarshin from raglayim, exclude someone who has wooden legs. So from here it would seem that it loses the shame regal. It is not considered a regal as long as he's missing some of his foot, even if it's still remaining something below the knee, it lacks in the shem regel. The Gemara answers, you're right, regel really means the foot itself, not the leg. However, since by chalitz it says, me'al raglai, remove the shoe from above his foot, so therefore included in me'al raglai is the area above the foot as well, the leg up until the knee. Ask the Gemara, if so, chalitz should be valid even on the area above the knee. On that, the Gemara answers, no, that would not be considered me'al raglai, but rather me'al de me'al. Afterwards, the Gemara asks from the stir with Yoel, ben raglai ashachav, where the pshat over there is, it was between the upper leg, the thighs, and still the Torah refers to that area as regel. The Gemara answers, lishna ma'alya, we wanted to talk in a refined way. Afterwards, the Gemara darshins that sheva be'ilais bal oisa rasha. And the Gemara asks on this, V'hakam ishanya me'avera, how was Yoel allowed to go ahead and do this? L'chaira, she is being nishana, having anah from the Avera. On that, the Gemara answers, Rav Yochanan says, V'shem, Rav Shimon, Bar Yochai, Kol Teivasin Shal Rishayim Ra'i Heitzel Tzadikim. All the Teiva of Rishayim by a Tzadik is considered a Davar Ra. Now what's Shan in the Gemara in its Kasha V'hakam Ishanya Me'avera? Taisis over here learns, the question is, why is the Torah Mishabeach Yoel so much that it says Tevarach Minashim, and the Gemara in Nazir on Chav Gimel Amabez and in Hiris on Daf Yud Amabez learns out Gedoyla Aveir Lishma, Mi Mitzvah Shaloy Lishma, that she was even greater in the Imais in this aspect. L'chaira, she was having Hana from the Aveira. On that, the Gemara answered, no, that there was no Hana involved because of the Svar of Tevas and Shal Rishayim. However, Taisis in Mesechtes Yuma on Daf Pebez Amabez, in the middle of the Taisis brings down a pshat b'shem yesh mefarshim, that they say the pshat over here in the Gemara in Yavamis is that since she's having hana, the Gemara has an issue that she should be mechuyah to meiser nefesh because it's an issue of gilui arayis. On that, the Gemara answers that since it is not considered a hana, therefore she does not have to be meiser nefesh. On this, Taisis in Yuma asks, L'chayr, there's an Isser Erva, even without pleasure. So how could the Yesh Mefarshim explain that since there's no Ana, therefore there is no Din of Mesiras Nefesh? It would be mashma that the Yesh Mefarshim in Mesechtes Yuma and Taisis in Mesechtes Yuma are arguing on a fundamental question when it comes to the Isser of Arayis. The Yesh Mefarshim seems to understand that this that the Gemara says, Mis'asik v'chalabim v'arayis chayiv shekei nena, the Gemara is saying that Nena means actual pleasure, and the Isra Arayis is dependent upon having pleasure. And therefore they learn Pshat in our Gemara, that the Gemara is asking by Yal L'Chayr, she's having Hana. If she's having Hana, so if so, it's Bechlal, the Isra Arayis. And on that the Gemara answers that no, since Kol Tevasin Shel Rishoyim Ra'i Eitzel Tzadikim, Memelot, it's not considered that she had Hana. Asha'enke in Taisis in Yuma understands, Mis'asik b'chalom v'arayis chayiv shakei nene, L'weira Baruch Ber in Mesechtes Kedushin and Simen Chaf understands this. That shakei nene just means that the Issa arayis is the physical action of arayis, the mitzias of the action of the guf, being isik b'arayis. Not that the Gemara means pleasure, but rather the physical action. And therefore Taisis says, then of course arayis is an Isser independent of whether there is Hana or not, and therefore Pshat in the Gemara must be a different Pshat. The Gemara further brings down a machlekes between Rav Papi and Rav Papa, what Rava held with a sandal hamuchlet as far as chalitza is concerned. A sandal, a shoe, which has tzaras on it, and this tzaras is confirmed tzaras. According to Rav Papi, in the name of Rava, if one would use the shoe for chalitza, the chalitza would be a chalitza psula. And according to Rav Papa, b'di'eved, the chalitza would be kasher. Now Rashi explains the reason of Rav Papi that the chalitza is psula is because since it has to be burnt, and the halacha is we need a shear, a certain size when it comes to the shoe, it has to be able to cover rive ragli, most of the foot of the yavam. And therefore, there's a concept of kesuse mechta shi'urei, since it has to be burnt, it's as if it's missing from the shear. The Berachos Avram asks, what exactly, how do we understand this machlekes between Rav Papi and Rav Papa, that according to Rav Papa, it is kasher to be used for a chalitza shoe, though it is a sandal with tzaras, and yet like Rav Papi, it is fasul. Another question he has is, how come dafka over here we find this machlekes, yet in many places in Shas, the stomach of the Shas holds that there is this concept of kesuse mechta shiurei. How come by the sandal of chalitza, suddenly there's this question, or do we apply or not the concept of the Kesusa Mechta Shiurei? The Berachos Avraham wants to explain the Machlekes based on the Yesod of the Kesef Mishnah and Hilchas Luav in Perek Ches Halacha Aleph. Over there, the Kesef Mishnah writes that a Shofar and a Luav is different than the Shua of Chalitza. When it comes to a Shofar and a Luav, over there there's a Shir Katzuv, there's a set amount what the size must be. And therefore, when it's Aymed L'Sreifa, when it must be burnt, we apply this concept according to everybody of Kesuse Mechta Shi'ura, it's as if the shear is broken up. However, when it comes to the sandal of Chalitza, there is no set shear. The halacha is, for a larger person who has a larger foot, he must have a larger shoe, which covers most of his foot, and for a smaller person, It only has to cover the size of the smaller foot. Therefore, the Kesef Mishnah says there's a svara to say that when it comes to the shoe of chalitza, even if it's Aymed L'Sreifa, we do not apply the logic of Kesusei Mechta Shiuri. Because at the end of the day, B'metzius, it's covering most of the foot. Zakta Berchus Avram, using this svar of the Kesef Mishnah, the Beis Yosef, we could explain that is goof of the machlekes between Rav Papi and Rav Papa. Rav Papi says that even though this shear is not similar to lulav, but since at the end of the day it is a shear, so as far as Kesusei Mechta Shiure, that is enough to say that the shear is broken up. However, according to Rav Papa holds that the only time that we apply the concept of Kesusei Mechta Shiure is only when it's a shear ba'atzim. But over here, where the whole idea is just to cover most of the person's foot, and it depends on every individual, if so, we do not apply over here the din of Kesusei Mechta Shiure. However, the Berachos Avram asks, on this Mahalach of the Beis Yosef and Kesef Mishnah, he asks from the Sugi Masechtas Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Chesam Beis. Over there, the Gemara says that a Shaifer that comes from the Ir HaNidachas, a city which most of the city served up by the Zara, where the Halacha is, one must torch the whole city to the ground. So the Gemara says that a Shaifer from such a city is possible because it's Kesusei Mechta Shiure. The share is considered broken up. Ask the Birchas Avram, by a Shaifer, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis explains that the size of a Shaifer has to be large enough that when you grasp the Shaifer in the middle, Kidei Shechzenu Biyada V'Yir L'Kan L'Kan, that you could see the Shaifer jutting out on either side. If so, Zok the Berachos Avram, it would seem by a Shaifer as well. It is not a Shir Be'etzim, but rather it is Tali on each individual. Someone with a larger hand will need a larger Shaifer. Someone with a smaller hand will need a smaller Shaifer. And still the Gemara applies the concept of Kesusei Mechta Shiuri over there. So this Luchar would fly in the face, Zok the Berachos Avram, of the explanation of the Kesef Mishnah, that Kesusei Mechta Shiuri is only limited when something is a Shir Katzuv, when something is a set amount. However, the Berachos Avram explains that the Shulchan Aruch himself, the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, which is the Beis Yosef, in Siman Tavkuf Peivav, Sivtes, would seem to resolve this question on his Mahalach. Because over there, the Beis Yosef seems to write that we don't measure based on each individual. Does it extend out of each person's hand? But rather, it's a set share of Dalet Gaidlin. So we see that the Beis Yosef understands that we take the average person, and Kedei Shiur Mikan L'Kan is not dependent on each individual, and therefore L'Shitasa we understand why by Shaifer as well it is applicable to the concept of Kesusei Mechta Shiurei. However, though the Beis Yosef learns this way, however, from the Rashi it would seem in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, where the Rashi explains the reason why you need the size of Kedei Shiur Mikan L'Kan is in order that people should not say that the person is producing the sound by just blowing into his cupped hand, and therefore the Shaifer must be jutting out on either side, that people see clearly that he's using the Shaifer to produce the kol. So it seems, Kipshuta, according to the Svar of the Rush, it should be dependent upon each individual. And yet still the Gemara applies the aside of Kesusei Mechta Shiurei. So it seems that the Rush argues with the Kesef Mishnah on this Nekuda. Whether we say Kesusei Mechta Shiure on something which is not a set shear, but rather dependent upon every individual. Now the Shita of Rav Papi is that a sandal hamoklet is possible to be chaylet with it, since it's Aymer L'Sreifa, we say Kesusei Mechta Shiure. On that, the Gemara asks a question from the Mishnah in Negaim. The Mishnah in Negaim teaches us that a base hamusker, a house which is closed up that has a nega inside, we're waiting to confirm that this is a confirmed nega. The din is that it's metame mitoichai, from inside. Hamuchlet, however, is metame both from the inside and the outside. The Mishnah ends off that both these houses have the halacha that it's metame v'bia. If someone enters in the house, it renders a person tame. Ask the Gemara owner of Papi, if we say this svar of Kesusei Mechta Shiurei, l'chayr, when it comes to a house, there's a din of a habal abayis. Only someone who enters a house that has a status of a house should be tummy. And over here, it's as if the house is chopped up into pieces. On that, the Gemara answers, by the house, there's a special Xeris HaKasav, where the Torah says, v'nitatz es abayis, one has to destroy the house, after the nega is confirmed. So we see even at the time of destruction of the house, where there's a confirmed nega, it is still has called, referred to in the Torah, as a house. One can ask on the mahalach of the Berachas Avram from this Gemara. The Berachas Avram had explained to us that the machaikis between Rav Papi and Rav Papa, even though generally throughout Chas, everyone agrees to the concept that if something must be burnt and destroyed, we say Kesuse Mechdash Shi'urei. However, their argument is by a sandal hamuchlet, because since the din shir, when it comes to the shoe of chalitza, is not a set shir, it is dependent upon each individual's foot. Therefore, there's a discussion, there's machlekes, whether we apply Kesuse Mechdash Shi'urei Chahegavna. And Rav Papa says we do not apply the concept of Kesuse Mechdash Shi'urei. It is limited specifically in this case because it's not a real shir. But if so, what's the Gemara's question from Beis Hamanuga? By a Beis Hamanuga, there is a specific shir. Like it's before in the Gemara Masechta Sukkah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, that a Beis Hamanuga must be Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos to be considered a bias, to be considered a house. And therefore, everyone would agree when it comes to Beis Hamanuga, we say Kesuse Mechdash Shi'urei. If so, why does the Gemara have it as a question on Rav Papi over Rav Papa? This has nothing to do with the argument of Rav Papi and Rav Papa. This is a Chayrei Tzarech in Gadol, a very powerful question on the Mahalach of the Berachas Avram. Now, as far as the Etzem Mishnah in the Gaim, which the Gemara brings down, that a Beis Hamusker is only Metame Mitaychai, and a Mochad is Metame, both Mitaychai and Me'achayrov, the Rishonim have a big discussion over here. What does it mean that a Beis Hamusker is Metame Mitaychai? The Rashi that we have in front of us is Mashma, that the case is where a person did not enter the house, but rather he stretched his hand inside the house, and he touched the inside the house, and in such a case we say that even Beis HaMusker is Metame Mitaychei. Mochad is talking about where the person touched the house, even from outside the house, it is Metame him as well. And so understands the Mishnah Lamelech in Parak Tezayin, Mehilchos Tumas Taras Halacha Aleph. But the Mishnah Melech is very bothered by this. He says, according to this, we have to understand, where did the Mishnah and the Goyim learn out this halacha, that even a Beis HaMusker has the ability to metame a person when he just sticks his hand in and touches the inside of the house? He says, after all, if you look in the Pasuk by a Beis HaMusker, the Torah only writes that there is tumah to habo'al habayis, someone who enters the house. So where would the Mishnah take out this additional halacha, that hu adina beis hamusker is metame someone who sticks his hand in and touches the inside of the house? The Mishnah Mel says perhaps Rashi holds that tumas bia, the tumah of walking into a beis hamusker, mitaras maga naguba. The longest, the way to view it is that since he enters the house, it's viewed as if he's touching the house itself. The kamish hanichas rubai, once he enters most of his body inside the house, havei kinegea, as if he's touching the inside of the house. He says, so is Mashra from the words of the Rambam in Perek Vav Mehilchus Aves HaTumah Halacha Vav, where the Rambam writes, as far as someone who enters Raish of Arubai into a Beis Avedah Zarah, that it makes the person Tame as well. The Rambam writes, Nitma Kinay Geya. It renders him Tame as if you'd be touching the house inside. If so, we see this svara that the lumnus of a Beis HaManuga, when walks inside the house, the reason why it makes him tame, because as if he's touching inside of the house. If so, mitana svara, it will come out that if in a Beis HaMusker there's a tumah of walking into the house, then kol shekein there's a tumah of touching the inside of the house by itself. However, the Mishnah Lelch brings out that Taisus in our sugya, in Divrei Amaschul Metame Me'acherav, he learns differently than Rashi. He learns the case of mitaychai does not mean the person stuck his hand inside, but rather the case is the person entered completely into the house, and the chiddush is, even though he did not enter facing in the normal direction, where the tzad halach of a bal habayis is someone who enters the house, it cannot render him tamei, because it's only if he's nichnas darach bia, if he enters in the normative way, the way a normal person enters a house. Afilu hachi, there's still this new tumah of the fact that he's l'maisa at the end of the day inside, found inside the house. The Ri, however, is nistapik, he's not sure by a Beis HaMusker if a person would just touch the inside of the house, like in Rashi's case, the Ri's not sure if that would render him tamei or not. Do we say that it's not worse than a case of Beis HaMuchlet, where it even makes him tamei from touching the outside of the house? So therefore, by Beis HaMuskar, at least it should make him tamei if he touches the inside of the house, or perhaps not. Perhaps Chahe Gavna, the person, would not become tamei. And this pshat of the Ri is actually the pshat that the Bach brings down. The Bach had a gerus that this was the way Rashi understood the sugya. However, the Rashi that's in front of us learns the sugya like we mentioned before, that mitoicha means the person stood outside the house and just reached in and touched the inside of the house. Finally, the Gemara brings another raya from a matlis, a beged, which is a beged hamanuga, sheyesh bei shalish al shalish, which is 3x3 etzbois, afli she'im bei kazayis, even though it's very thin and it's not a kazayis worth, came shenichnas rubai labayis tar to meseu. Once most of it came into a tar house, it renders the house tummy. The Gemara says, my lab muchletes isn't not talking about where the nega is already a confirmed nega. And Rashi explains, even so, though one needs the entire beged to make the house tameh, but we apply a svar of shadi mi'utai basa robai. Since most of the beged is in the house, we throw after most of the beged the meat that's left outside. It's as if the entire beged entered the house. Now, if Rav Papi was right, that we say a svar of kesusi mechta shi'urei, when it comes to something which is a menuga, a beged menuga, so if so, this should not be considered as if there's 3x3 inside the house, because the entire beged is like it's chopped up. The Gemara is mancha the right, and the Gemara says, no, we're talking about musgeres, we're talking about a beged, which did not yet reach the state of confirmation. Asks the Marsha and Rashi a very powerful question. If the Gemara means to say that it's considered like it's broken up into many pieces, and therefore you do not have a beged 3x3. If so, why does the Gemara have to ask the question specifically in a case where most of it came in and only a small amount is outside, and therefore if we say ksusei mechta shi'urei, we can't throw the small part that's outside and view it like it's inside with most of the beged? Well, chayra, even if the entire beged entered the house, there would be that same question. Why should it make the house tameh if it's ksusei mechta shi'urei? In order to tameh the house, you need a beged which is 3x3, and this is considered a beged which is broken up into many pieces. The Kaivitz Ha'aris in Simen Ayin Gimel Sifkatin Vav explains that Rashi holds ksusei mechta shi'urei does not say that we're missing any part of the shear. Ksusei mechta shi'urei just says it's as if the object was chopped up and broken up into many pieces. And since the halacha is that once a beged is a beged muchlet, once it's a confirmed nega, the din is even if you chop the beged into many pieces, it still retains its tumah status. So if so, in a case where the entire beged entered the house, though we would say ksusei mechta shi'urei, that would not be a problem, because at the end of the day you still have a beged which is tameh being metameh the house. Rather, the Gemara's only question is, in the case where part of the beged remained outside, and we need the full 3x3, and the only way to say that we see the whole beged inside the house is through the concept that we're shadi mi'ute basarubai. If we say it's as if the beged is chopped up into pieces, so one piece does not connect with the other, and therefore we cannot say shadi mi'ute basarubai. The Kaivitz Ha'aris, however, points out that from the fact that the Marsha had this problem with Rashi, we see that in the Marsha's opinion, he understands kedusei mechta shi'urei to mean not just that the item is broken up into many pieces, but rather it's viewed as if it's missing part of the shiur as well.
You have been listening to the shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.